In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And brothers and sisters, it's a truism. It's obvious. It goes without saying. Life is full of circumstances. A lot of them. Difficult times, confusing times, happy times. Times when we feel things are all well. Times when we think that we don't know what the next thing that will happen is, and we're full of fear or anxiety. Life is full of circumstances. And out of those circumstances, those long, really, periods of space punctuated by important events, the Lord speaks to us, the Lord saves us. It's always been that way. It was like that on Pentecost. The Spirit was spoken of in the Old Testament quite often, but the Jews did not understand. Then Jesus Christ spoke of the Spirit quite often, and the apostles did not understand. And then when he rose from the dead and after he ascended, the Spirit still had not come, and they did not understand, but they were, as the Scripture says, all of one accord, in one place, on the day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is a Jewish feast, as well as a Christian feast now, of course. Pascha, or Passover, celebrated by the Jews to celebrate the being able to leave Egypt and the Pharaoh. Then, after they left and crossed the Red Sea, 50 days later, the law was given to Moses. Pentecost celebrates the giving of the law. The first Pentecost. The second Pentecost is the fulfillment of the law. Because the Jews, many people, were not able to fulfill the law because they didn't have the ability. They could know some of the law, only in its broad strokes. The Lord showed us later what the law really meant, didn't he? Especially in the Sermon on the Mount, when he spoke of what love really is, what hate really is, what lust really is, murder really is. But they knew something of the law, but they could not really follow it very well, because they did not have the Holy Spirit, not every man. In the Old Testament, the Spirit was given only for specific purposes, to prophets, to kings, with the anointing of oil, for specific reasons. So only a few had the Holy Spirit. Now in the Christian age, all Christians can have the Holy Spirit. But I say can have the Holy Spirit, because we understand that the Holy Spirit does not abide in a person that does not attempt to live a pure life. The Holy Spirit is signified by the dove, right? What is the dove? A very clean animal. So the Holy Spirit will not be where there is filth, only where there is cleanliness. Or should I say, really, where there is the attempt to be clean. Because the Holy Spirit will abide in the struggler, in the one who desires. The one who doesn't care, the one who makes excuses, the Holy Spirit is far from him, even though he calls himself a Christian. Now, Jesus Christ, after he was risen, came to the disciples, and he said, actually he came to all of them save Thomas, right? On that first day, and he said, "Peace be to you." And then he breathed on them. And he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Now, were the apostles immediately peaceful after he did this? Or did they immediately receive the Holy Spirit after he did this? No. The apostles still had many days of fear that the Romans were going to crash in at any time and arrest them and crucify them just like their Savior had been. They were unsure of themselves. They waited for 50 days. But see, they didn't know it would be 50 days. It all comes together in the end. There's a perfect symmetry about it. But they didn't know that at the time. The law given on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit given so the law could be fulfilled on Pentecost. Hindsight makes perfect sense. I'm sure they realized it afterwards. But in the midst of it, they did not know. So they were waiting an interminable length of time, not knowing, but all of one accord and together. And the Holy Spirit came, surprisingly, with the rush of a mighty wind and cloven tongues of fire over their heads, nothing that they expected. And then, because it was found out, because of the sound, because of the furor and the commotion, so many people came around with all these different languages, and the apostles spoke to all of them, and they were understood. An amazing thing. Certainly incredible. And there's incredible things that happen in our lives. But most of our lives are not incredible. Most of our lives are just struggle. Just trying. I like to say that life is space punctuated by short events. There's a lot of space in our days. The Christian who has less space in his day, that Christian is the one who is making progress. Because really, there should be no space in your day. Because you should be with prayer and with desire to become what the Lord has ordered you, commanded you to be every moment. So no moment should be wasted. And yet we know, yes, moments are wasted. And with the apostles too, with everyone. But if we are waiting on the Lord, He will surely come. Now we have this event that happens, this incredible thing happens, and we don't, I think, look closely enough at the circumstances under which it happened. These were men who were hunted. These were men who were afraid. You know, even when he ascended into heaven, it said some doubted. So even 40 days, even after seeing him for several occurrences during the 40 days, some still doubted. I think we would be among those doubters as well. It's not so important if you doubt a little bit. It's not so important if you sin. What's important is if you desire. If you desire to be filled with God, then you will. Now, with desire comes effort. It's not just wishing upon a star. It's effort. So the apostles gave that effort. To be together, which was dangerous. It'd be safer to be apart, wouldn't it? Wouldn't a large group of people tend to get more attention from the authorities? They stayed together, and the Holy Spirit came. Outside of their expectations, despite the fact that the Lord had said to them many times about the Holy Spirit, despite the fact that they, as lovers of Scripture, knew references to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, they were surprised. I think it's that way with us too. Not because the Lord doesn't tell us, but because we're just a little dull and we don't understand. It's okay. The Lord will save those who are dull, as long as they wish to become bright. And you become bright by living in the circumstances of your life and seeing God in all things, in every circumstance, knowing that there is no space in your life, really. Everything is important. And then the Holy Spirit comes to you and comforts you in ways that you cannot understand. And peace comes to you in ways that you cannot understand. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't always feel peaceful. In fact, I rarely feel peaceful, and yet I know that the Lord promised peace. So what are we to do with this conundrum? The Lord said, "Peace be to you," and yet we're not at peace. Well, the problem must be that we don't live in a peaceful way. The Holy Spirit will teach us this way, but not in some kind of way that is easy. You know, reality is a whole lot different than our fantasy. Reality is hard. We learn to be peaceful by not becoming angry when someone slanders us, by not becoming bitter when someone harms us, by not lusting when we have a desire. This is the path to peacefulness. And it's hard. But God will help because of the Holy Spirit. The law was given on the first Pentecost by Jesus Christ, by the way. And the Holy Spirit was sent to fulfill the law on the second Pentecost. Let us fulfill the law by living in the circumstances of our life. Let there be no space in our life, but only the Spirit. May God bless us and help us.